warm bed. You just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me.
Oh, that was a sudden drop.
Oops.
All right. So anyway, so you're tuned in to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Network, and our half-hour show, Co-op Radio, CFR 100.5 FM. I'm, of course, Kelly, and I am not doing the operating. Guess who's doing it?
Oh, no.
<It's me. laughs> Oh, no.
There's that joke. It's like the two old ladies driving down the road. Oh, I'm driving?
Yeah.
No, actually, I'm operating today. Kelly's maybe is still a little jet lag from Cambodia.
Well, that's being mostly part of it.
Yeah.
And anyways, what we're also trying to do here for Co-op Radio is to try and Community Living Show. We've been on the air since... Oh, during the 1990s when Dave, Laurie, and Richard, yeah, and Wendy, and everybody who did the show before us did a fantastic job. And I know we got to give credit to them because they've been doing it for a long time. And we need some sort of a facelift.
Yeah. Upgrade. We need to bring it into... The next generation
of people with disabilities and special needs. And I know for a fact that we do have another show on Wednesday afternoons from 1 to 2 called Soapbox Radio.
Yeah.
And they've done a good job. Originally, Carmen and Hazel. Carmen and Hazel did a fantastic job on their part, but we want to try and make it really important so that, you know, it is important for people with disabilities and special needs need a voice, not just from Vancouver, but throughout the province.
Yeah.
Throughout BC, because I talked about it yesterday when we talked about, it was on our other station, CITR 101.9. We talked about, I mean, we talked about it through Skype, and of course, you had a problem with your car.
my car was a little disabled yesterday.
But we talked about it through Skype, and it's all about the provincial government's, slacking. They're really slacking. Well,
they are.
On the budget.
They are slacking in... I don't know. Is some of it a reflection of the people on the whole, or is it just
basically in general?
Should we say the premier? I don't want to say names.
Well, that too. Let's just put it that way. And of course, the whole kit and caboodle of the issue of the bus pass program, which they've been talking about it. While I was away, anyways, the budget and everything, and. And of course, I'll say it again. basically, they've got $45 a year for the bus pass. What they want to do is cut it. Well, I wouldn't say cut it, but in addition to add more money to about $52 per month.
What was it? Almost $600. It was almost $600, another $600 a year, right?
Exactly.
In addition to the $45.
A lot of it from your pocket. And, of course, if you have, as myself, I have autism. Part of it is also diabetes. I have type 2 diabetes as well. So the government's giving me about $941.42 per year to have the fundings for it for each month. But... a lot of it you're going to have to pitch in, which will be, you know, $55 per month minus close to $900, whatever it is. In addition, the provincial government is giving you extra more money. I think it was like $77 extra Am I right, Michael?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's... Well,
and then there's other issues along with it. When you look at BC's housing market,
mm-hmm.
there is no affordable... Even if, you're, shall we say, fully able person, there isn't any affordable housing. Mm. So what about those...
Affordable houses
have rent. Other needs, mm-hmm. you know? There is no affordable housing.
No.
You know, so in... While they came with this plan, oh, we'll give a tax cut to this, but it doesn't address people that have a disability.
Mm-hmm.
What about these people? What about them? Were, you know, were they supposed to do walk the street? Is that what's supposed to happen?
Feel more homelessness?
Yeah, yeah. You know, the statistic was it? What is? There's a crazy statistic out there. I would actually have to go look it up again to find out of what the disabled people are in the homeless population.
Well, and of course, you look at other countries as well. And I was, and again, I was over in Cambodia, and most, like, Cambodian communities have to really survive on their own. The government doesn't give you anything onto that matter.
Yeah.
The same goes with Africa. When I was over in Africa, a lot of people struggle for their own stability. The government says no, and they say no, to many other things. So, although, I know Canada is a really rich country. We live in better communities than most other communities in other countries. But we're
there's still a lot more that can be done.
Yeah, there's still a lot more stuff that need to be done.
Yeah.
Not just our regional country, but around the world, for that matter.
Yeah, you know, granted, Canada does give more than any other country in the world that I know. Maybe Denmark, maybe Denmark gives more, but with the population size that Canada has, you know, they give more per person mm-hmm. than any other country in the world for needs for health and all that.
Right.
You know, but there's still a lot more that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all human beings and we should all have the basic rights to food, shelter, and water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, clean air. Mm. You know,
everything like clean air, water, anything that's more suitable for everybody. It just goes down to we need more capacity in order to survive,
yeah.
for that matter. You had a poem or something that you wanted to read.
It's actually going to be part of, it's going to be the text grabber part of a Indiegogo campaign for Just One Step, the documentary, as we're recording the walk. With the Fibromyalgia Wellspring. So here, I'll read that.
Sure.
Let me get the mic and everything a little bit closer. Okay. The face of fibromyalgia. Don't judge me by my smile. Oh, sorry. I'll start over again. The face of fibromyalgia, because I already messed up. The face of fibromyalgia. Don't judge me by the smile on my face. That's just for you, my friends and strangers. Inside, there's so much pain, you have no idea. There are days when I don't get out of bed until 4 o'clock because I'm so tired from pain that you cannot see. Every day, I deal with pain, but you can't see it. Don't judge me because I park in the handicapped spot and look perfectly fine. I'm not using my cane today. Tell me I have no right to sit in the bus seats reserved for the elderly and handicapped just because I look normal. The face of fibromyalgia is this. I look normal just like the girl next door, but inside where you can't see, I'm not. I put on a brave face so that I can go out there and live life. Sometimes you just have to get the job done, and sometimes you can't. We take life one day at a time with a smile. How about you? So, like I said, that's going to be part of the Indiegogo campaign.
Right.
For the actual documentary.
Mm. Poem's very interesting.
Yeah, it is. It kind of describes what people with hidden illnesses actually go through. Mm-hmm. The pain that they experience and the brave faces that they put on just to deal with life every day. So
interesting.
Yeah. We played a video while you were gone. It was this lady, she has EDS.
Right.
Is Ehlers-Danlos syndrome or hypermobility, where she could like bend her finger back towards her wrist, her index wow. finger back towards her wrist and things like that. And she had all these rings on her finger.
Right.
And she said one day she was approached about all the, she says that she's sick and she's always wearing such stylish rings and jewelry and things like that. Uh-huh. And how can she say that she's sick? Mm. Well, the rings that she was wearing, if you look really closely, they were actually splints to limit the motion of her fingers going backwards.
Oh, wow.
Or her wrists disjointing from her arm. Mm. So you can imagine how much pain that is. Is like, have you ever pulled a joint or something like that? A lot of pain, right?
So yeah, of course.
Yeah, just because something got turned the wrong way, it's like, well, it may not hurt for it to slip out, but mm-hmm. the act of putting it back in again still does hurt. Right. And they deal with a lot of pain because their joints slipping in and out and things winding in the wrong place. So, and that speaks to what, this is actually written by Dale Gillespie.
Right.
He's a scriptwriter for our video team. And he wrote the poem based on some of his own experience with having arthritis in his back. Mm. And he does a wonderful job. And sometimes he sits at his computer way longer than he should without his medication. if you're listening, Dale, like you did last night, and you weren't able to get out of bed today when I called, he was barely able to squirm around, you know. And his dog needed to go outside to go to the bathroom.
Mm.
So, thank God he has roommates. So,
interesting.
Yeah. You know, that's another one. Arthritis. People don't always, they think of all the crippled joints and everything in people's hands. But what if you don't have that? But you still have the joint pain, right?
Right.
So, yeah. And that's another thing that, since we're talking about this, mm-hmm. What the government and disability did.
Mm-hmm.
So Cheryl Young, the founder of the Fibromyalgia Wellspring,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to give away part of her story on this one. She was taken off of disability mm-hmm. because she could talk.
Right.
It was like, they said, well, if you're perfectly able to talk, you're because of the business that she was in, if she was able to talk, she was actually able to work. But the thing was, there's sometimes trying to have a conversation with Cheryl when she, like, really gets exhausted mm-hmm. from pain.
Hmm.
It's the conversation's not existent.
Interesting.
Because you're distracted by the pain.
Hmm. As I mentioned earlier about the bus pass program and the information on the provincial government, I have a little clip here on the YouTube site on the BCNDP caucus. Bruce talking to the minister why Lord Milan's transit priorities are left behind. So want to have a listen to that?
Yeah, before we do that, let's do a little station ID.
Okay, you're tuned in to Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks and also on our half-hour co-op radio.
Yep.
Okay. 100.5 FM.
And thank you for listening. And here goes the clip. You ready?
Yep, ready.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, Prime Minister Trudeau and the Liberal Party of Canada made it clear during the federal election campaign that their priority for infrastructure investment was urban transit projects, not highways. Greater Vancouver mayors have also said that the Massey Tunnel replacement is not their priority. Their priority is urban transit projects. British Columbia will have limited infrastructure dollars allocated to it under the federal government's New Building Canada Fund. So my question is to the Minister of Transportation. Why is the government risking this one-time opportunity to make real progress on regional transit priorities in the Lower Mainland?
Minister of Transportation and Infrastructure.
Well, first off, Honourable Speaker, let's stroll back in history. The Canada Line project, which this government built, was opposed by the members opposite. The Evergreen project, which when completed will result in British Columbia having the largest rapid transit network in the country, was opposed by all of the members opposite. Honourable Speaker, the Portman Bridge, which we were just talking about a moment ago, made possible rapid transit for the first time across the Fraser at that location in 25 years, and 50,000 people are using that rapid bus every single month. They all opposed it on that side of the floor. Honourable Speaker, we are engaged with the federal government. We welcome their heightened commitment to infrastructure, because if there's one thing that we are doing exceptionally well in this province, Honourable Speaker, it is building critical infrastructure, which the people of this province need and are going to continue to see from this government.
Hear, hear.
Member Suriwali on a supplemental.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The Portman Bridge, notwithstanding what the Minister says, is bleeding red ink. When the project was first planned, regional mayors and the opposition warned it would fail unless it was part of a comprehensive transportation plan for the Lower Mainland that put transit first. Sadly, time has proved us correct. Now we have the opportunity to work with the federal government, who are bringing real dollars to the table to address transit priorities across the Lower Mainland. Will the minister do the right thing and talk to the local mayors about their transportation priorities and get the federal funding that this province deserves?
Minister of Transportation and Infrastructure.
Thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. Well, first off, let me be very clear again. For several years now, we have been very consistent on this side of the House in our support for rapid transit expansion in Surrey, in our support for the Broadway line in Vancouver. Honourable Speaker, we have said consistently that we will make available a third of the capital for the major rapid transit projects in Surrey and Vancouver, as well as potentially the replacement of the Patello Bridge. We have said that for several years. Honourable Speaker, in terms of the member's specific question relating to the George Massey Tunnel, which is a key infrastructure priority for our province, the largest single bottleneck in the province of British Columbia. I'm not sure what the members have got against folks south of the Fraser freeing up more of their day to spend with loved ones and friends. But Honourable Speaker, we're moving forward with that project. There has been a tremendous amount of consultation up to this point, three rounds of public consultation. There is now an environmental assessment process which is underway. There will be two public comment periods as part of that, and I'm not sure the Metro Vancouver, the mayors are aware, but they have staff representation from Metro Vancouver, which are formally part of that working group on George Massey Tunnel.
And speaking of the George Massey Tunnel, it's going to be told. Nobody realizes about it.
Of course it's going to be told, because that's what they do.
That's what they've done. They've done with the Portman Bridge.
Yep, told.
They've done it with the Golden Ears Bridge.
Told.
Told. And possibly the tunnel. Told.
Yeah.
So
what it amounts to is, if I live on the other side of on the Fraser River.
Yeah, you live in White Rock.
And I want to come into Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
I have to pay $10 to $15 in tolls to get there.
Mm-hmm. Whereas you might have to go over through Alex Fraser Bridge,
yeah,
and go through there.
And because I live in South Surrey,
mm-hmm.
transit doesn't actually start coming to my house. It comes within I think within about maybe 1,500 meters of my house.
Mm-hmm. Is it a community shuttle?
The community shuttle, the main bus doesn't come to the 351,
mm-hmm.
or the 354 to run during rush hour
around there.
Yeah, while it may start running at 6 o'clock.
Yes,
it only comes within maybe 1,500 meters of my house. Now, mm-hmm. as some of you out there know, that I have arthritis in my hands, feet, and face.
Yes,
especially during the wintertime. It's like it does get cold enough here when it gets about 3 to 5 degrees,
right,
that it becomes very difficult to walk that distance,
mm-hmm.
to catch the bus.
True.
So when we do our other show, and this is the reason why I wound up driving, mm-hmm. is because the C-53 that actually comes right to my door, yes. the community shuttle bus, mm-hmm. doesn't start running until 7.
In the morning.
Yeah, 7 in the morning.
Right.
Okay. It runs once an hour.
Every hour, yes.
Every hour, right? So yeah. If I need to get to CITR, yes. It takes 2 hours on the bus. It takes 2 hours driving.
Yes.
So if I cannot get to CITR in time, because it takes the community shuttle about an hour to get to where the 351 bus actually, where I can pick it up. No, because it has to go all around South Surrey before it gets to the bus loop.
Mm. Now, if only peak hour buses were run all day. Normally, when you get peak hour buses like the 602 or the 352 bus, those buses run... The
354.
And 350.
Yeah.
Those buses run from like 7 o'clock in the morning to like... Mm-hmm. They only run for about an hour or so.
Yeah.
Close to around after 8:30 maybe.
Yeah.
An hour and a half. Mm-hmm. Close to around its running time.
Mm-hmm.
The next one, you'll have to wait until like after 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 2 o'clock in the afternoon to catch those buses from going south.
Not
going north, going south. Right.
Yes.
So it's no wonder what MLA, Bruce Wilson says transit's far, far behind, because we are. We are far behind.
Well, I think I would tend to want to agree. Where I grew up at in the U.S., in Pennsylvania, we had the what we called the Turnpike. Mm-hmm. The Turnpike was a toll road. Okay.
Okay.
And the only reason why you would ever get on the toll road, and the toll was actually a deterrent to keep the traffic down,
mm-hmm.
and is if you actually had to get from one end of the state to the other end of the state, because mm-hmm. it rather than taking 10 hours, it would take you 2 hours, mm-hmm. or I should say 8 hours, is two hour savings in time.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand applying the toll as a deterrent from driving to get you to use transit,
mm-hmm.
but when transit isn't actually available for you to get to where you're going in a reasonable amount of time,
mm-hmm.
there's a problem.
It is.
So you're imposing a toll against me that I had to, and then you say that I can't renew my license, I can't renew my insurance until my tolls are paid up. it's like
you know. Okay, I've been charged with drinking and driving. I've been punished with my car for about a year. I have to take public transit, and transit sucks.
Right.
Right. So.
Or I'm being punished for driving my car by having to pay $10 a day. Now I'm further being punished for trying to be a lawful person in society, having a meaningful job and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And You're taxed, because a toll is a tax. Mm-hmm. You're taxing me, so now that I cannot actually find my way to make a living to keep my home, and shelter and food, all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Because now you tell me I can't drive my car because I'm not able to pay the tolls, which are way too high to begin with.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So what is one to do, right?
What is one to do? I hear you.
Anyway.
So, anyways, we hopefully on our next shows, and bear with us, we're hoping to have some sort of a show where we can have an hour show for a lot of interviews. What, name some interviews that we've done so far.
We've had authors, mm-hmm. Gemma Jackson, who wrote a book about how to live life with fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm. Hoping we'll have her again. Hopefully we can talk about more of it for an hour.
We've had Jenny Kwan.
Yeah, we had Jenny Kwan.
And these are people that appeared on our 1 hour show. Now we had Jenny Kwan on, and another MLA on. This is when Jenny Kwan was actually MLA.
MLA, yeah. But now she's.
And we had her at the old studio, and I think we got maybe like 3 questions before we had to go all back off air.
Exactly.
So we didn't really get any quality time with her.
No.
And when we did the 1 hour show, we were actually able to get the NDP stance as well as her stance mm-hmm. on issues. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the 1 hour show, it's important. We can actually dig deep into some of the issues.
Into more issues, yes.
We can dig deep into another one that we had was you weren't here, was the SensaFloat Spa, the mm-hmm. benefits of magnesium salt in the water.
Mm-hmm.
With the float therapies, mm-hmm. how it relaxes the brain, how the benefits of the magnesium being absorbed through the skin into the body, so that it eases joint and muscle pains and things like that, and what the benefit is to those that have debilitative conditions like arthritis, fibromyalgia, EDS, all like that.
Mm-hmm. So the important is support Co-op Radio and, of course, support our other station, CITR, which, of course, they're doing their fund drive right now. But we need all the support. Without you guys, we wouldn't have a show anyways.
Yeah. So we do need you guys to jump in and give us all the support you can so that the station managers at all of the stations that throughout the NCRA networks see a need for our show. They see value in our show, mm-hmm. and they want to play it, and that keeps us going.
Mm-hmm.
That actually, and that also, the people we bring on air, mm-hmm. it also gives them a reason to actually want to come on air with us,
right.
because they know that their message and their word's going to get put out. And we're down to less than 2 minutes,
so that's it for our show. Stay tuned for other shows that are on the NCRA radio networks, and of course our CFRO station, New to Dune, is standing by for the A-Train. Coming up next.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I got a song.
You got a song? Okay.
It's...